I'm listening to the show every morning, and you can say it's grand. It's not grand if you're not on it, though.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Some talent in Cork, isn't there? Wow. A few of the GAA boys weren't happy, but it was my sporting hero. I was contesting, I think, against Jimmy Barry Murphy. So once you're in that company, everything is good.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
It's very, very special. Believe me, I think it becomes more special when you're on the coach, because it's something, unfortunately, inside me that's ultra competitive, and I need to be there.
Catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM on the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We also want to talk about German football in some detail, given that they're going to be the first ones back on the pitch. Apparently, no better person than Uli Hesse, who is a legendary chronicler of German football. His book Tor is the defining tome on German football history, which you should read if you haven't already. He's also written a brilliant book about the history of Borussia Dortmund. So he sat down with Owen yesterday. Have a look.
Okay, so delighted to say that we've got German football writer Uli Hess with us on the show, because the Bundesliga makes its long-awaited return this weekend. A short-awaited return in comparison to pretty much every other football league around Europe, but still, it's football and we're happy to have it back. Uli, you're very welcome. You must be pretty excited.
Hello, thanks for having me on the show again. Yeah, yes and no. You know, like most everybody else, I've got very mixed feelings about it. You know, yes, it will be football, but will it really? You know, we just don't know.
I guess the one thing is that in Germany, you managed to witness what football might look like after the pandemic, before everything got shut down, because you did have a sight of an empty stadium. In Mönchengladbach, wasn't it, right before things shut down?
Yes, the first ever game behind, you know, closed doors in Bundesliga history. And we've also had one, you know, in the Champions League. Dortmund played away at PSG. There was also a game without crowds. And the funny thing is, you know, it's not just my opinion, but I think everybody's opinion keeps changing from day to day. You know, back when we had those games, was it March? It was a long time ago. Basically, everybody said, no way, you know, it's better to have no football than this. It's just not right. And then after 4 or 5 weeks, a lot of people came around and said, well, maybe the idea isn't quite that bad. Now, we're sure going to talk about this in a couple of minutes. Now, I think the pendulum has swung again. It's okay. Most people are fairly critical of it at the moment, right now.
And why is that, Uli? Is it because of the fact that football potentially is not anything really without its fans?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the reasons. It's also that some people feel that football is getting special treatment and it shouldn't. Some of the fans were very critical about it because, I mean, the league is quite open about the fact that the one reason they're doing it is because of the money. You know, this is about money and about nothing else. And a lot of the fan pressure groups have come out and said that they issued a statement saying this is totally crazy. You know, this is one of the richest industries in the entire world, and you're making millions and millions of euros, and you don't play football for 6 weeks, and you're on the verge of bankruptcy. What's that all about? And it's also that now there's all these little technical questions that keep coming up, you know. And for instance, two Dynamo Dresden players, you know, they've tested positive, which means that club is now in isolation, which means their game is cancelled, won't happen on the weekend. What if players test positive after a game? Then it means both teams will be in isolation, you know. It's all very complicated. Nobody really knows what's going to happen.
Just on the topic of the finances and the complaints that surely a football club should be able to survive longer than 6 weeks without football, they are cash flow organisations in their defence. There is going to be a swathe of issues that hit football clubs at the lower end of the Bundesliga over the next couple of years, really, if football doesn't get back up and running. Like, I presume that is the case. Like, it is certainly a situation when you look at the bottom end of the Premier League, and certainly when you drop down through the divisions. without football at this point, without the television revenues, I presume a few of these Bundesliga clubs would have been in dire straits.
Absolutely, it's only about the television money, you know. I'm not saying I agree with those fans, because, you know, at the same time, I think we all feel with restaurant owners, you know, and we all accept that they are on the verge of bankruptcy after having done no business for 2 months. So, you know, 2 months without any income is tough on any industry, you know, even if it's football, because of course they earn a lot of money, but they also, spend a lot of money. So absolutely, yes, it's the television money, which is very important in Germany. Most of the clubs are, you know, totally dependent on that. It's not like why the situation in Germany may be a bit special or maybe different from another situation in other countries, is that we don't have, you know, wealthy owners. We don't have, you know, companies running clubs. All the clubs are more or less self-sufficient. So if their major source of income, which is the television money, if that's not forthcoming, then a lot of them are in problems. Not all of them, but even a really big club like Schalke 04 is quite obviously having severe problems.
Mm. Is there a sense that they are going to get the entire amount of cash from the television companies? Because that has certainly been a sticking point in the United Kingdom, where potentially the Premier League may not put up the full amount of cash, because it's not the same product without the fans in the stadium. If all these games go ahead in the Bundesliga, do they get the full amount of cash into their back pocket at least?
To be honest, I don't really know what the plan is there. It's also because it will also be complicated. I think they're going to get it if the games go ahead as planned. Another problematic aspect is that, of course, the clubs waited for the green light from the authorities. And when it was finally given, when it was finally said, yes, the clubs can go ahead, it was under a provision, which is that people will be able to follow the game on free television, on free public television, or in any, you know, in any form that is not pay-per-view or pay television. Because another argument against bringing back football was that, if they're going to show football, people will come together, people will congregate in whatever form to follow the games. So one rule was that there has to be a way for people, you know, for most people to just watch the games in their homes. So Sky Germany are going to show, you know, not every game, not the entire game, but sort of the entire afternoon. You know, we have a conference channel in Germany where you go from one game to another, and that will be that will be free for everybody on the weekend. Which of course means Sky won't be very happy about that, you know, because I mean that is their their way of earning money. So as you can see, everything is complicated.
Yeah, it certainly seems so. At the same time, I'm sure a lot of the more vocal critics about the possibility of football returning might soften their cough a little bit to actually have free-to-air television. Like there is this phrase thrown around that, you know, football can improve the morale and the mood of the country. It certainly has a better chance of doing so and furthering that argument if at least it's on free-to-air television.
Yes, maybe. This is going to be a very, very important weekend. For everybody, of course, especially for the clubs, but also for the politicians, for the people who gave the green light and everything. And it's also because it won't be until this weekend, until we really know what this is like. Just to give you one example, that this is now the match day that was supposed to be played before the lockdown began. And one of the games, of course, is the big derby, you know, between Dortmund and Schalke. And it was already agreed that it would be played behind closed doors, you know, without fans. And, I'm from Dortmund. So And we were talking, from the magazine, which I work for, we were talking about the game. And at one point, one of my colleagues said, but, you know, I mean, I don't really understand why you're so excited about the game because, you know, it's not a derby. Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, none of the players is from Dortmund or Schalke. You know, they're just professional athletes and they happen to be wearing a blue or a yellow shirt. That's all. So the people who actually make this a derby are the people in the stands, you know, the supporters. And without them, it's, you know, just another game. It could be any game in the park or whatever. And ever since he said that, I wonder if it's true. I'm not sure. I haven't made up my mind yet because, you know, I've followed derbies on the radio, you know, or maybe even on the internet, you know, without actually hearing or feeling or seeing people in the stands. But of course, you always know that they're there. So, I'm pretty much looking forward to the weekend just to see what it will be like, you know, to see a derby without fans. Is this still what it's supposed to be? You know, maybe.
So it's a really good point, actually. How has this worked, Uli, over the last few weeks in terms of training, in terms of testing? I think the first scenes we all saw were of teams in Bayern Munich, for example, training socially in a socially distanced manner. How has that developed over the last couple of weeks, and how has the testing gone ahead?
That was another point of criticism, of course. People said the clubs were spending an awful lot of money on tests while, you know, some hospitals may be waiting for tests or people cannot be tested. I think that argument has more or less died down. It's been generally accepted that the clubs are doing everything they can to make this work. But of course, at the same time, you know, they're not properly prepared. They're not preparing in the way you would expect a professional football club to prepare for a round of games. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, coming from a very long summer break or whatever. And, you know, Freddy Bobic, the Eintracht Frankfurt director of football, he's already said that he expects some very strange results because he thinks, you know, the teams are, well, they're not really match fit, you know. They've had hardly any team training, you know. So he said, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if games finish 5-5 or whatever, 5-5. Which is another thing. Of course, everybody's looking forward now in a sort of, I don't know, maybe like watching an accident. I don't know. It's you know, how are these players? How will they perform on the pitch? You know, and. You know, there were all these, apart from all these, you know, training rules and social distancing and testing or whatever, there's also all these little recommendations about, you know, just be careful when you're celebrating a goal, you know, don't hug too much or whatever. And it's going to be very, very bizarre, I presume. At the same time, we're also looking forward to it because we know that all eyes are on the Bundesliga now.
It's a huge
opportunity. You know, and everybody's...
It's a huge opportunity for the league. It's certainly in the spotlight. And I think everybody's delighted to have the opportunity to actually watch a bit of Bundesliga football this weekend. Just one thing before we actually get into the football. You mentioned there about the public view of football clubs buying up a lot of tests, and you say how that view has changed a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Like, I wonder if the mood has changed a good bit in Germany to the point where the idea of what complacency might bring is actually seeping in, because Christian Drosten, the German scientist, has been in the media over here a bit, and certainly in the UK media, actually. He's done a few interviews, and he was talking about the whole prevention paradox situation that potentially might exist in Germany. Of course, what are you into the second of your second week of lockdown restrictions being eased? But I wonder if there is just a general caution around the whole country over there at the moment, Uli, about what would happen with complacency and the fear of a spike in positive cases of the coronavirus.
Yes, of course, that plays a role as well. One reason why, you know, but I mean, things change on a daily basis, really. But as I said, this argument about the number of tests, too many, you know, available to the clubs. that is no longer, I don't hear that as often as I used to, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, because there is a general feeling that's of, you know, the country getting back to normal, slowly going back to normal. You know, the restaurants will open on Friday again. So even, you know, before the football, you know, shops are open, you know, hairdressers opened. So there is a general feeling of we're slowly getting back to normal. That, you know, that argument against football being, you know, too quick, that has slowly receded. That's no longer in foreground.
It's certainly going to be
I think basically speaking, I think a couple of weeks ago it was about, you know, about principles, you know, about general considerations. Right now it's more about people have begun to understand that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of very practical questions, you know, that the league will maybe not be able to really handle, you know. They've got to play an awful lot of games in a short period of time, according to their own schedule. And I think there's quite a few people now who think that probably they're not going to finish the season, you know. I think quite a few people think that the plan is probably not going to work the way the league wants it to work. It's also, we haven't even talked about that, but another huge problem is everything below the top two divisions. You know, the third level, which is the professional league as well in Germany, there's more or less total chaos there. Also because the federal state have different laws, different regulations. You know, some of those clubs in the third division, they have said, they do not want to finish the season because if they follow, you know, the plan as laid out by the Bundesliga, they would go bankrupt, you know, which is a bizarre situation. The Bundesliga is doing this to not get bankrupt, to get the television money. And a lot of clubs in the third division say, if we follow those rules, which means we have all those tests, you know, which are costing a lot of money, then this is going to be our financial ruin. It's difficult. I mean, nobody really knows anything. It's we just have to see and wait what happens on the weekend.
Yeah. What is giving you the greatest cause for concern in terms of the Bundesliga season not concluding? Is it because if there is one positive test of a player who has just played a game, it almost takes two teams away with him, or what's informing your caution at the moment?
Yeah, that's personally my. I mean, we've just had one case, sure, at Dynamo Dresden, and it means, you know, and that's of course that's immediately snowballs. And then again, you know, the league was very when the league dropped this plan, they were very adamant that they wanted the season to be over by the end of June. Now they're already saying that, you know, we might play into July, you know. The reason they wanted to finish by June was because, you know, all the players' contracts, you know, they run out in late June. You know, we can get around that by talking to FIFA and, you know, things like that. But you get the feeling from the statements issued by the league that they were very optimistic a couple of weeks ago, and now they're, you know, retreating step by step. I mean, the clubs had a video meeting. I mean, the clubs are gonna have a video meeting, and some of the issues were already leaked. One plan, for instance, was that the league wanted the clubs to say yes during this video conference to a plan that says, even if, you know, we can't play the season to the end, even if at one point we have to stop, there will be normal relegation and promotion. And obviously not all the clubs have agreed to that. So they're going to postpone sort of a vote on that until next week. Mm. And probably they just want to see what happens on the weekend and then wait for the first and second round of tests. But as I said, it seems to me that they're slowly, even the league is slowly becoming less and less optimistic.
Right. We've just got a couple of actual football talking points to get into then, Uli. What you just said there doesn't fill me with the greatest confidence that perhaps these football points will all materialise into a long narrative over the next couple of weeks. But I do want to ask you all the same just about a couple of things that we should be looking out for, because, as you say, the eyes of the world when it comes to football fans are going to be on the Bundesliga this weekend. It's been a very, very interesting season so far. Bayern Munich top of the table, a four-point lead. But it is quite the top four at the moment, just 6 points separating the top four. Has it gone down as a great title race, or is there just a sense of inevitability that 4 points will become seven, will become 10 eventually for this Bayern Munich team?
You know, it's hard for me to answer that because I know, and obviously, I mean, as you know, as football journalists, we should be talking about football when football is coming back.
Sure.
But it seems, you know, this season seems like ages ago, if you know what I mean. I was on the last weekend, on the very last weekend when we had the games, I was actually on a press junket, you know, with five British journalists. I mean, I was sort of, you know, their guide and showing them around the country. And we went to three or four games. There was the very weekend where there were those fans protests against Hoffenheim owner Dietmar Hopp, you know, and there was a massive talking point all over the weekend, you know, and games were threatened to be called off, you know, if the chanting continued, and you know, and just now this seems like, you know, as if it happened in a different lifetime, you know. So yes, it was perceived as the most interesting season in a really long time and the closest race. And right now, probably most of that is just out of the window, you know, because as I said a bit earlier, even if the games go ahead and even if there's no major problem, you know, even if nobody's tests positive, it will be a very different type of football, you know, not just because there's no crowds, but because nobody really knows at what level of performance the players are, you know, are they match fit? You know, what's this going to be like? So right now it's very difficult to predict simple things like the team's form, you know. You know, normally after such a long break, you would ease the teams back into, you know, competitive games by having a few friendlies here and there. But the way it is now, it was almost they've been totally out of the public eye for like 2 months. They were holed away, and we really have no idea in what shape or form they are. So it's going to be certainly not going to be a normal match day. So it seems, well, sort of very difficult to, you know, to see this as a continuation of you know, the first two thirds of this league season.
Of course, without question, I completely get that. I think anybody who's been watching any semblance of sport, well, if you were put on the spot to talk about what was the last game you saw, you would have to actually think about it for a few moments, because it just feels like an absolute lifetime ago. And the point you raise about match fitness there is no way these players can possibly be match fit. There literally hasn't been matches. They say that you can't get that without actually being involved in games. So hopefully there's a decent level of cardio all around and they kept themselves topped up, which I'm sure they did, to be able to put on some bit of a show. In terms of teams lower down the rungs at the table, then it does strike me that the Bundesliga at the moment is gifted with an array of talent that isn't just confined to the top couple of clubs, that there are a number of teams around the league at the moment who've got really good, young, up-and-coming talents who've got the eyes of the world on them, actually, and the eyes of some of the big clubs in Europe on them.
Yes, yes, absolutely. There's, then again, it's a side aspect, of course, but another aspect of this strange situation we're finding ourselves in is that a couple of weeks ago, we probably would have been talking about, you know, whether Jadon Sancho, you know, is he going to join United or City or whatever, you know, and for how much money, you know, is he going to break the transfer record? And right now, nobody really knows what the financial situation will be like in a couple of months, you know? So it seems hard to say you know, at one point there were, for instance, at one point there were people saying the Bundesliga will come out of this a lot stronger because despite, you know, they are, because they're now having to play just to get the television money, they're financially relatively stable and you know, well run and well managed. Then there's another group that says that that during the crisis, that said that this could become a major blow for the 50+1 rule in Germany. You know, the rule that says our clubs cannot be owned by individuals or by companies, which a lot of people find very attractive about Germany. But it could be that if clubs do really get into financial problems, you know, they will try to find ways to open themselves to outside investors, you know, to outside money. And that, of course, plays a big role because, yes, there's quite a few young, exciting players. And, you know, in a league like the Bundesliga, the question is always, well, especially for a club like Borussia Dortmund, for instance, is for how long can you, you know, hold on to those players? For how long will they be playing at the club before you have to let them go and then sell them to a bigger league, to a bigger club?
It's a very worrying point that you just made there about the potential changing of the 50+1 rule or the opening up of outside investments. If it hadn't happened already, the post-COVID-19 world would be the perfect time for something like an RB Leipzig situation to occur. Do you see something similar to that reoccurring? It seems like the time might be ripe now when people are stuck for cash.
Well, a lot will depend on now on the next couple of weeks and on the financial situation of the clubs. I mean, there's still the majority of clubs and the majority of fans are still very much for, you know, in favor of the 50+1 rule. But we really don't know. I mean, you know, another thing that, you know, when people debated about, you know, is the Bundesliga coming back too early? Why this rush? You know, shouldn't we wait a couple of weeks? The league was quite open in saying that, listen, if we wait too long, there will be no more, you know, Bundesliga as you know it, because quite a few clubs will go under. And that, of course, is just another uncertainty. We don't know at the moment what happens if there's really a really, really big club, like Schalke, because they seem to be the biggest clubs having severe problems right now. What if a club like Schalke really needs, you know, outside money to survive, you know, not just to, you know, to become competitive and to buy players, sure, but to actually survive? That could actually change the playing field.
Yeah. God, but it's...
Another reason is we are now in a situation where... I mean, this happens in every walk of life right now. There are so many things that you took for granted and you said, well, that's probably not going to change, you know. I don't know, you know, no planes, you know, flying above our heads, which would have been seem unthinkable like 2 months ago. But then it turns out, well, all it takes is a couple of rules and a couple of regulations to make this happen. And the same with football now. We've got all these things about, you know, we've moved entire tournaments into the next season. We will probably have to change, you know, the rules regarding the players' contracts, you know. So, and I think if it sinks in that it's really, really easy to change all these things, then maybe a couple of clubs will come forth and say that, well, if we can do all that, you know, we can surely change the 50+1 rule. This is a concern.
It sounds like it. You've raised a lot of very real possibilities of things that might happen over the next couple of weeks, Uli. It's not the most positive picture, but it's good to hear it anyway. I think a lot of people, though, are excited for Bundesliga football this weekend. Fingers crossed, nothing does go wrong, and hopefully we'll get to enjoy the league for the next couple of weeks, and hopefully it does manage to reach its conclusion. You've been great with your time, Uli. Great having you back on the show. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, and stay healthy.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.